Mini episode 133 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by DOU Productions, delivering coverage of sports and pop culture through columns, live blogs, and original videos. Follow them on the web at generationshatter.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, this is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris welcoming you to one of the six Lounge mini-episodes that comprise the sixth edition of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. I am joined by some of our finest FDH Lounge dignitaries for this occasion. The Pantheon is our celebration of the best of the best from all walks of life. All previous FDH Lounge Pantheon inductees can be found on our homepage at thefdhlounge.com. Members of the FDH Lounge Pantheon are voted in by the FDH Academy of Arts and Sciences, which is comprised of the FDH Lounge dignitaries and other advisors and supporters of FDH. We hope you enjoy our Pantheon broadcasts as much as we enjoy bringing them to you. In the event of any ties in the balloting, they will be broken on the air by our dignitaries hosting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to induct the sixth class of the FDH Lounge Pantheon. Okay, FDH Lounge Pantheon 6, bringing in here full circle. This is Non-Sports Part 3. This is our final installment of the taping here today. Rick Morris, Bob Glassman, John Adams, Anthony Patrone, Matt Patrone going around the tables together that have been pushed together here.
I think I got another shot at bringing home a winner in this one.
You may very well. This is very interesting. We have TV spinoff and active presidential leadership as the ones here. We'll start with TV spinoff, starting as we always do. The ones that got one vote in going down the list here. One vote for Saved by the Bell, which was itself, and this is kind of a piece of trivia, it was a spinoff of some other crappy, less reputed TV show back in the day.
What?
Some similar one.
What?
It was a, I don't have Wikipedia in front of me, but it was like a Saved by the Bell.
Spin-off.
Yeah, I mean,
there were spinoffs off of that.
The initial idea for the show was different and under a different name. I think it was like mostly the same characters. I think it was mostly like refashioning the show, but I think it at least technically fits the definition.
And later
of a
on, wasn't Bob Golic on Saved by the Bell?
I think he was. Yeah.
College. Yeah. Someone.
He was. Yeah. He was. I would say that he did Cleveland proud, but I'm not feeling quite that polite right at the moment. One vote for King of the Hill, which I find to be kind of odd, because Nick Despin's cast this vote here. I think he's mistaken, because while the guy that plays Hank Hill sounds like, I think it was Mr. Anderson from Beavis and Butthead, it is not a Beavis and Butthead spinoff. Just because Mike Judge being the common denominator,
I didn't know that
does not a spinoff make. Sorry about that, Nick. I mean, we're counting it, but...
Hammer time.
Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
You had to count my snooker vote. You got to count that.
I don't throw votes out. Nate Noy voting for, he was hoping this would get more than one vote. It didn't. The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo. That didn't get any other votes. One vote for Law & Order SVU. That was...
With the Law & Order, there was just way too many Law & Orders, I think.
Well, and this is one of them, the Special Victims Unit. One vote for A Different World, the Cosby spinoff from the early 90s here.
Shocking.
One vote for Mork and Mindy. A little trivia here. I know Bob's nodding right away. You know what that's a spinoff from, don't you, Bob?
Happy Days.
Yep, exactly.
Say, the youngest guy here knew that.
Okay. All right. I didn't. Okay.
That's the best one mentioned.
All right. One vote for Star Trek The Next Generation. One vote for The New Price is Right. That Tom Denk voted for that one.
I would question that's a spinoff.
Yeah, I mean it's sort of in the vein of Saved by the Bell, except Saved by the Bell at least had a different name. This has the same name.
Host. That's all.
Yeah,
changed.
Yeah,
yeah.
And who is the host of The New Price is Right, Rick?
Drew Carey. Yeah, yeah,
Not Bob Barker.
Yeah, not Bob Barker. Exactly.
four-time past lounge guest, by the way, for anybody that didn't know that.
That's
nice. Thank you. Thank you very much. And one vote for, and Raymond Smalley cast this vote here. This was an overlooked one, but I think this is a pretty good vote. One vote for Knott's Landing in the 80s here, your Dallas spinoff. So that was kind of an interesting one. We move from there to the ones that got multiple
was
votes.
Was Cliff Barnes on that show?
He was not. By the way,
mine got multiple votes.
By the way, most recent Lounge Mini episodes before this one here leading up to it, Mark Berman, TV critic for TVMediaInsights.com, longtime of Media Week, talking to him about the new Dallas not spinoff, but the refashioning on TNT. He saw the first five episodes. He said it's awesome, and he said it's exactly what you would have thought from back in the day. You would have thought, boy, John Ross probably grows up to be, you know, probably just like his father, and Christopher probably grows up to be Bobby's son. That's exactly what happened. So you've got, like, JR on there as John Ross's influence, Bobby as Christopher's influence. So really, really, really doing, like, what you would have thought they would have done with it in the 80s if somebody told you they were going to relaunch it in 2012. So I'm definitely going to check that out.
Is Cliff Barnes on that one?
There should be. There should be. Cliff Barnes getting victimized was always one of the best parts of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The hapless Cliff Barnes. You got to love that. Three votes for Laverne and Shirley. That was, I believe, another Happy Days spinoff.
Yes, it was.
Three votes. Here's one here. Here's one that you smartasses aren't going to know what's a spinoff of, probably. Three votes for The Simpsons. Anybody know what that's a spinoff of?
I did know it was a spinoff. I can't remember what of.
Tracy Ullman. Remember her show back in the day, that variety show on Fox? It used to be just sketches on there. Five votes for The Jeffersons. Of course, all of the family spinoff. Yeah. Old school. Folks, digging back, going old school.
Still in there?
Bob, that was one of yours, I believe. You had one of the votes for The Jeffersons.
My mind wasn't working too well thinking of spinoffs. Not that it ever works well, but it was a good show. It was a very good show. Not as good as All in the Family. I guess if we find a spinoff that exceeds the prior, like one of the first ones you named, like Saved by the Bell, but there was really nothing really prior to that.
Well, and there's one, the winner in this one, I think a lot of people would feel exceeded the original, particularly if you look at how it stands up over time. I certainly would.
Are we at the winner?
We are at the winner because
we
are at the winner. Yes, we are. And you guys both voted for the winner, as did I. So we both we cast three of the six votes for it.
Yeah, here's the loser calling.
Very nice, Kelsey. There are a lot of people like myself that liked watching Cheers back in the day and really enjoyed it. But I mean, I watch it now. I'm kind of like, what was I thinking? Oh yeah. Oh, that's the episode where everybody goes Norm. That's the episode where Woody says something kind of stupid and corn pone. That's the episode where
Coach forgets something.
Yeah.
That's the episode where Sam macked on Rebecca.
Yeah. That's the – oh, I love this one. That's the episode where Carla says something mean to Cliff. I've been waiting for them to re-show this one. I mean, I loved it back in the day, but you watch it now. Oh, my God, what a one-note show in so many different ways.
It quite a bit.
He found it on Netflix.
But you know what? That doesn't surprise me because – he's watching it through childlike eyes, as did we. When you're a kid, hey, this is great stuff. You get a little older. Come back to me in 20 years and tell me if he thinks it's a brilliant show or if he thinks it's a piece of garbage. My guess is, you know, it would be closer to the latter. The winner in this one, Frasier. I mean, I frankly thought it would be a little more lopsided. To me, that's one of the first things you think of. Somebody says big spinoff, and I think, and you think Frasier, because I think it even went... It was a comparable length. I think it might have gone on a little bit longer than Cheers, but it was at least comparable. It had a substantial run in its own right. There was a lot that it was known for.
And it was a good series because it had its own mini storylines.
It did.
I mean, you had Niles, who was secretly in love with Daphne, and you couldn't tell her that.
Right.
But it just, it was,
for me, it was all of it. It was a good storyline. It was that they brought the Cheers cast in from time to time on episodes.
They did.
Special guests. And not to say that I picked it because it was probably, in my opinion, it was probably one of the ones that made the most money because it probably went the longest.
Super successful.
It was very successful. It was the first one that I could think of. When I was flipping through the channel guide, Frasier was on
like three different channels.
Still on 12 you know? Times a day on 12 different channels.
Yeah. It was a tremendous show. It had a lot going for it. And it was a thing. I used to argue with people, though, like back in the 90s, because do you remember what was the powerhouse sitcom it was on up against that it was going head-to-head with for a while?
In the 90s?
Yeah.
It was Seinfeld?
No.
Either that or Home Improvement, I was thinking.
ABC, yeah. Yeah, Home Improvement. And I would argue with people. I'd be like, oh, I'd rather watch Tim Allen on Home Improvement. I'm like, really?
I actually liked Home Improvement.
I liked
Home
Improvement.
I thought that was a good show. But
and that's still on now, too.
It just, I never was. The one that I will say that I did like, and this is for completely different reasons than anything else, is the one where Tim Allen's character and his son are going to a Red Wings game and they're smuggling octopi into their clothes to throw it on the ice. Obviously, I liked that one.
Well, you like octopus, right, Rick?
Yes. Particularly as pertains to the winged wheel. Absolutely.
But I'll tell you, that just shows a big difference in TV back then and TV now. I mean, you look at, you know, a TV show comes on, it lasts 6 months, and then it's gone. If it does that, that was a successful TV show if it lasts more than two or three episodes. But back then, you had the Cheers and the Night Court and the Frasier and the Coach, all the quality TV shows that held up that lasted 5-10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and Frasier was one of them. It was very successful. And again, it wins this one. I thought it would win. I didn't think it would be as close as this, but it does.
I think he set it up just so he could pick a winner.
I did pick.
He waited to see what we.
I don't often set out to pick out winners.
He
kind of
figured you and I were brothers and we were going
to
vote together.
I don't object to when I do pick winners here. We lift the Dundee Award. Frasier goes into the Pantheon for the FPH Lounge.
What really surprises me wasn't in there?
What?
And just because of the success of the show that it came on.
What? What did everybody miss?
The Cleveland Show.
Okay, I mean, that's a little newer.
It is a little newer, but the success of Family Guy that it had to bring Cleveland off of that show and give him his own show surprises me that somebody didn't at least mention it.
Yeah, especially because we got a lot of Family Guy marks in the bunch here.
I'm sure teammates would have.
Yeah.
I was never a big fan, so don't even look at me, bro.
All right, so that... That takes care of that one. Our final one for the Pantheon for in our non-sports categories here. This is very interesting. Active presidential leadership. We really like to mix it up from time to time here. And we went all over the place on this one here. There were a lot of different ones.
I will not go quietly into the night.
Yeah.
Matt's using presidential leaderships as quotes from movies.
Nice.
I think the best one was where he flew the plane. He went to take out the alien ship himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the
and
president
ran out of
was
bullets.
Strong.
He ran out of bullets. So guy had to come up and fly the plane right into the main gun of the alien ship to take it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the best presidential moment.
Excellent.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I didn't stipulate
Independence Day, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I didn't.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid, that was his name that had to fly the plane.
I guess
my kids. Please.
I guess it's my bad for not stipulating best actual act of presidential leadership.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it up.
You chose an
anything.
Actor.
Yeah.
Well, see,
oh,
I didn't vote.
Well, see, my thing was I couldn't vote on this one because I just couldn't get past. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Well,
I couldn't get past it.
Lying about that could have been one. Mine here. Nobody followed me on this one. Mine was Ronald Reagan channeling Vincent K. McMahon to the striking air traffic control workers. You're fired! Nobody followed me on that one. I was the only vote for that
did
one.
Did he actually say it like that?
I think he did, actually. Go look on the newsreels. One vote for another vote for Ronald Reagan, but separately. Ronald Reagan, tear down this wall. One vote for when he said that. One vote for George Washington declining to run for a third term. And setting the precedent that stood up until FDR of where presidents wouldn't do that because we don't have royalty in this country, and that pretty much stood until 1940. So out of respect for that, Chris Galloway voted for that. One vote for Andrew Jackson opposing the National Bank, I believe back in the 1830s. One vote for, we go from the 1830s to a vote for Barack Obama's Startup America initiative. So once again, truly all over the place. One vote for JFK's decision to go to the moon. One vote for the scout, Ken Becks, going with the convenient answer of too many to count.
I miss you, Ken.
Yeah. One vote for Ronald Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative. One vote just generally for George W. Bush after 9/11. One vote for Nixon ending the Vietnam War. One vote for, Johnny, your vote here, for Barack Obama okaying the Bin Laden mission.
Absolutely.
That would be a strong one.
Yeah, that was, you know, really the figure representational of really world terrorism getting taken out. So, but again, he took a gamble on the mission. I mean,
you know, George Bush saying that we will not allow terrorism. That was bold. But to actually be the President Obama that said, go take him out.
Well,
instead
that
of saying capture him, he said, take him out. Get him, do whatever you have to do, just be done with it.
Well, a phenomenon that we've talked about previously with the lounge, and it's something that Kyle Ross in particular, it's a shame he couldn't be here with us today, but he commented on this when he was a part of Pantheon 5, the whole thing of prisoner of the moment, and it always got... Now, Kyle's a liberal, so he would be happy about anybody citing Obama, but it would be very interesting to see Kyle the liberal being faced with something like this, because if you're talking about from all time, I wonder if Kyle, and I'll have to ask him off here, would he regard something like that as prisoner of the moment? It is the most recent of the things here. It's even more recent than Obama's Startup America initiative. So it's very interesting. Because it's so recent, I'm surprised it only got one vote. But it did. One vote for Truman nuking Japan. One vote, your vote, Bob, was for FDR fighting the Great Depression and World War II with polio.
No, mine was for...
am I reading this wrong?
Truman.
Oh, Truman nuclear. Okay, my bad. Yeah,
read
Steve Cervillo. Yeah, okay. So, all right.
He talks about snooker being illiterate.
Yeah. Yeah, very... Right. All right, we'll circle back. All right, so yours was Truman nuking Japan, then. Okay. Right after taking office, basically.
Yes, which was bold in itself. And I obviously, dropping two atomic bombs was a bold move, one that I... wouldn't think should be repeated from this point on, maybe.
That's one that goes up there with being bold enough to say, go get Bin Laden.
I agree. That was
the same thing.
And it pretty much put an end right after that. World War II pretty much wound down after that, and that could have changed the face of time. One other little known part of that, or one known part, is if the bomb would have gotten a few more people, maybe the parents of Tadano and Kobayashi, so they wouldn't have pitched for the Indians. So it might have not been a bad thing. But
in Cleveland Indians history, missed being affected for the better is your contention.
Yes.
Okay. Very nice. See, there's all kinds of tie-ins here with this. All right, so it was Steve Cervillo that voted for FDR. Freudian slip, FDH.
Before you move on, you said that they bounce all over the place, but really, isn't this all one thing? Because he just tied into the baseball with this one. We tied in another one to something else.
What it is,
all over the map. It's all tied
together. It all ties into nothing is off topic in the FDH lounge. FDR fighting the Great Depression and World War II with polio. That was Steve Cervillo's vote. My brother voting for something that he admitted was constitutionally dubious, Thomas Jefferson's Louisiana Purchase. I would take issue with him on that. I don't know how constitutionally dubious it was to have expanded in that kind of manner. It was approved, as I understand it, by Congress. I'll have to reread my history on that, but I think his interpretation of that is something I don't agree with. The ones that got two votes apiece, two votes for JFK in the Cuban Missile Crisis, and I'm looking to see here, I think, was that one of, Tom Denk, who was with us in somebody voting in some of the categories here earlier today, voted for that one. There were two votes for that. There were two votes for FDR's New Deal, so something that ties closely to what Cervillo voted for, but not exactly. I take it if they're exactly the same thing, and this is somebody citing the New Deal. And this just shows you here again, too. The other one that got two votes and then the one that got three votes, you could say that there's some similarities here, but I'm counting them as different things. Two votes for Abe Lincoln fighting the Civil War and three votes for the winner, Abe Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, which, of course, has spawned all kinds of racist jokes about, hey, did you hear that Abe Lincoln woke up the next day and said, I freed the what? So, but the way that this is
two different things.
Have you heard the one about all the coins?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the coins down there.
I'm glad the New Deal was mentioned. I was thinking about that previously because, you know, that had a really strong impact on, you know, our current national parks. And if you do any research, even in the Cuyahoga Valley, much of that was people working on it was part of the New Deal. So
there were elements
nice
of that. Yeah, there are elements of that with the national parks and some of those things. Here's what's in. I'm always fascinated by when votes come in and everything like that. Two of the first four votes were for the New Deal. So I'm thinking at that point, and knowing that we always get more or less about 30 people voting in these things, wow, this has got a decent chance to run away with it. Didn't get another vote the rest of the way. Just one of these oddities of how things come in. But, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of what else should have been represented on here and wasn't. I'm kind of drawing a blank on some of the specifics. Because, again, yeah, I'm a big Andrew Jackson mark, so at least that got mentioned about opposing the National Bank. And you knew that, you know, George Washington and Abe Lincoln were going to be on the list. So,
well, you could think about Reagan and Gorbachev with Glasnost.
Uh-huh.
But that was kind of part of the Berlin Wall coming down, so I believe that kind of was a catalyst.
Kind of ties to that one, yeah. So
the some things that you don't know if they were presidential initiatives, at least without for me looking it up on the computer, is the creation of the Fed, which we could probably talk about offline for a long time.
Woodrow Wilson, yeah, 1913.
That was, and I think ominously, were, you know, these are these presidential moves for the better or the worse, or
it? Well, and you know,
I think the creation of the Fed would go under for the worse, but
that what you just said kind of makes me smile because I go back to another thing that we did on the lounge, a Pantheon-like thing that we did previously to celebrate President's Day in 2011. We did a segment. I did a little survey of it for who was the worst president in history. So we went through and we had voting like that. I had a list of nine, and then everybody was allowed one wild card. And it was interesting to see like where somebody would slot their wild card, if they would vote that person the worst or somewhere lower in there. Of course, my best friend, Jeff Mislanich, who all you need to know about him is for these purposes is that he is a subscriber to the Glenn Beck Show. Online, voted for Woodrow Wilson, who was not one of the nine nominees. His wild card was number one worst president of all time because of the Fed, because of paper money, because of other things like that. So that makes me smile when you mention that, Bob, because that is a hot button for so many people. I mean, that is, you know, for anybody that subscribes to the Glenn Beck Show, they will probably vote Woodrow
and
Wilson.
For the record,
one.
I'm not a fan of Glenn Beck's.
I know somebody who is.
Yeah, that just made me smile when I saw Woodrow, and I think I even referenced it when we were doing the show that night. I was like, God bless Jeff. You know that a Glenn Beck subscriber is going to have Woodrow Wilson number one on that list. There's no question about that. But by the way, one of our other dignitaries, Kyle Ross, this was hilarious. We had George W. Bush as one of the nine nominees, but not George H.W. Bush. He put George H.W. Bush on the list and said, I'm voting for him just because he fathered George W. Bush.
Nice.
Yeah. So I thought that was pretty funny. So it's an interesting run of the ones that we have here. In the end, again, Abraham Lincoln getting multiple votes here. Two votes for the Civil War, three for the Emancipation Proclamation, and that was all that it ended up being. So we lift the Dundee Award for the Emancipation Proclamation, and that ends up inducting him into the Pantheon here today. So, thus concludes the six sports, the six non-sports categories. Excellent tapings here today with all of you gentlemen. I thank you all so much. This is going to be great stuff that we have up for everybody at the FDH Lounge, the fdhlounge.blogspot.com. Thank you, one and all. Those of us that are still with us here at this point, Bob Glassman, John Adams, Anthony Patrone, Matt Patrone, and previous earlier today, with Tim Faust and with Tom Denk. Thank you, gentlemen, very, very much. The FDH Lounge Pantheon, 6th edition.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Paper Mate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.